1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and live lives they genuinely love. You can listen online live at northidahoradio.com. You can catch up on shows you might have missed at northidahoradio.com. If you miss a show, you can go back to northidahoradio.com and get caught up. I am your host for the show today. I am Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. The reason that I do what I do as a career and life coach is that I am brutally passionate about people doing work and living lives that they genuinely love. And without a doubt, I believe that we all have that desire. It takes courage, and it involves taking risks. And I have been genuinely loving my work in career development for 33 years now. My passion developed when I watched my husband work for a company that made us a whole lot of money, but he hated the work that he was doing. He constantly assured me that he would retire at 55 and he would do what he really loved then, and that was boat maintenance and repair. Unfortunately, my husband passed away at 44, and he never got to do the work that he genuinely loved. So it's become a mission of mine to help people to step into the work that they love so they can live lives that they genuinely love. And whether I'm engaged in coaching a client or simply having a conversation with someone I randomly meet, I have yet to talk to anyone who is employed in that work that simply provides a paycheck that does not wonder, either silently or aloud, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Some know, but are afraid to act, and others don't know, but desperately want to. And when they find it and they move in that direction, it is life-changing in so many positive ways. Today, my guest is Brian Anderson, who is the founder and owner of Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repair. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Brian will share with us how he made his decision to move his career in the direction of his passion and the positive effects that have come from that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Around here, we take care of our own, help out our neighbors, work hard, and pitch in where needed. That's small town living. But small town living does not have to mean sacrificing access to quality health care. At Kinnick-Sue Health Services, our qualified care teams provide excellent medical, dental, pediatric, behavioral health, and veteran care for the residents of North Idaho. Kinnick-Sue Health Services, building a healthier community with award-winning care and small town warmth. Call today or check us out at kinnick-suehealthservices.org.
Now is the time to gear up and get those summer projects taken care of. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantle, desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, stop by the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint wants you to know they're going to great lengths to keep their customers safe. They've installed acrylic shields in the check lanes and the counters are being continually cleaned. For your added convenience, try their shop online service. Just go to superonefoods.net, place your order, and set the time for pickup. When you arrive, your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to one of their parking spaces reserved just for online customers. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Are you ready to get out and play? Then hightail it to your nearest Idaho Lottery retailer to play Idaho Parks The Scratch Game. You could win up to 50 grand, 11 amazing game designs to collect from your favorite parks across the state, Lake Cascade, Ponderosa, Harriman, Farragut State Park, and more. Plus, an amazing interactive Second Chance mobile app to take your play to a whole new level. Idaho Parks The Scratch Game. Bring home the richness of the outdoors. Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and Buildings. Please play and recreate responsibly, Idaho.
It's Knutson Summer Savings Time. Hi, this is Eve Knutson. Hit the road in a new 2020 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab LT 4x4, MSRP $49,730. Buy this former service loaner now for $38,744 plus tax and fees after rebate. Or how about a new 2020 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive, MSRP $32,635. Buy this former service loaner for only $23,967 plus tax and fees after rebate. Test drive our new shopping experience with ShopClick Drive at Knutson.com. Find the vehicle you like and schedule a test drive. We'll bring it to your home or office, or schedule a time just for you at the dealership. Take advantage of 0% financing for 72 months on approved credit through GM Financial on select models. Our offer ends July 31st. Experience our commitment to your safety and security. Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet, minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls. Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. My guest today is Brian Anderson, the founder and owner of Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repair here in Sandpoint. So welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
You bet. So I have been a huge fan of cycling for as long as I've lived in Sandpoint, and I've always admired your passion for cycling and your being able to keep my bike in shape so I can continue to do that in the brief months that I only really ride in the summer. But, you know, now that I've had an opportunity to work with you at CrossFit and I get to know you a little bit better, I said I got to have you on the show so we can hear a little bit about your story and how you got to do what it is that you do. So, first of all, where did your passion for cycling come from?
Well, I'd always had a passion for biking. I grew up biking, you know, like a lot of people, and never really considered a career following that.
Right.
It just kind of stumbled upon me one day.
Okay. Well, that's probably another good story, I'm sure.
Right.
But you started riding here in Sandpoint?
Yes. Yep. Mountain biking. That's kind of where my passion has been for, you know, a long time, is just getting lost in the woods. And yeah, a mountain bike was a good way to do that. So,
absolutely great. Okay, so you grew up in Sandpoint, you're riding your bike, you probably graduated from high school, and then what happened?
Right. Well, after I graduated high school, a lot of my friends were going off to college, or had some sort of kind of career path, and I really did not want to go to school anymore. Mm-hmm. And didn't really have much of a direction. And both my grandfathers were retired military. And one day I just kind of got the itch that is something that I wanted to pursue. And I joined the Marine Corps and served 4 years.
Wow.
In the Marines.
Awesome.
And then went to school and graduated from UCLA. And then, wow, that's kind of where in school I started a job working in accounting. And after graduated, it turned into a full-time job. And so I just kind of, that was kind of my first or second stage in life, I guess I should say, as an accountant.
And so why accounting? What was the draw there?
Well, yeah, good question. And I'd taken some accounting classes in high school and found that I was good at it. And I did enjoy it. Numbers just, you know, made sense to me. And so when I was looking for a job to put myself through college, it seemed like an obvious choice to me.
Sure.
And I just continued when I got out doing that same thing. You know, the money was good. And there's stability there. And you could pretty much get a job in accounting, you know, anywhere you go.
True.
So all those things just seemed pretty positive to me.
And did you get your degree in accounting then?
I didn't, actually. No.
See, there's always another story in there.
Yeah, I majored in political science and minored in anthropology. So not really related at all.
Yeah. And so, and what drove those decisions? Why political science?
Well, there was a period where I was considering going to business school, and political science just seemed like a good platform for a lot of people that were going to go take that path. But I ended up just figuring that I was going to take a little break after school and just work in the accounting world for a while.
Right.
And then go back and do school. But it never happened.
No.
Which I think was for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And so aren't you glad you didn't go into political science right now?
For sure. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Everything that's going on. Yeah. And so where did the interest in anthropology come from? How did that show up for you?
Right. Well, I've always been fascinated with, I started with psychology, but just kind of the how people think and interact, and particularly as groups. And so that's kind of, you know, where anthropology kind of fell in. That's and it was kind of a nice fit to political science.
Absolutely,
you know, as well.
True.
So I did find that all really fascinating studies. So,
and I would imagine several years down the road from now, it'll be interesting to study what's going on right now for sure.
Yeah, right.
I can't wait to hear what this is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But so when you were in the military, and I always kind of wonder about this, do they kind of facilitate the process of, you know, what I know they probably want you to continue, and that's probably a lot of the conversation that goes on, but is there guidance that they try to provide you, you know, once you do decide to step out of that world?
Well, not exactly. I didn't feel like there was, you know, a whole lot of help with transition,
right,
getting out of the military. But I was super thankful that I had the GI Bill. Otherwise I would have never, you know, been able to afford to go to UCLA. So I was really, you know, thankful for that. But I will say that, you know, being in the military, I learned, you know, a lot of life skills and maturity.
Sure.
And we traveled a lot. Basically went around the world twice.
Wow.
So I was able to experience a lot of different cultures and meet a lot of different people. And I think just all those things really just kind of prepared me, you know, more for life. Where
sure.
Coming out of high school, I wasn't really, you know, ready to do any of those things. So,
yeah, I worked for school district for 28 years, and you know, it just became so apparent to me that when we ask kids to make career decisions, when they haven't really worked at all in the world of work, and they have no experience from which to pull from, and then we ask them to pick a four-year major that, you know, they've maybe read about or seen on TV or their parents or their teachers recommend, and then they step into it and they commit themselves for at least 4 years and all that money and time and energy, it's
right.
It's daunting, and it's a little bit like throwing, you know, just blind arrows at a target. So, you know, I always, it's always curious to me is how people end up in the careers or the degrees that they end up with. But you know what? It's like you said, I think it's a lot about getting life skills and learning more about who you are and what you like and you don't like. And so it doesn't necessarily always matter what degree you get, but it's really kind of the whole process that you go through. So
yeah, I agree.
And you must have been a pretty good student to get into UCLA and to graduate. So, you know, did you find that was a challenge at all?
No, I mean, it was challenging for sure. Right. I worked really hard in school, but I graduated summa cum laude, so.
Oh, wow.
I was pretty proud because in high school, of course, I just never really, you know, applied myself and just to see that, you know, I really could be successful at learning if I just, you know, applied myself.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it was a great experience, and, yeah, I'll always be grateful for that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what a transition to go from Sandpoint to UCLA.
Yeah, that was huge.
How many students were there when you went?
Oh, I don't know. It was a lot.
Yeah. And the competition factor must have been unbelievable.
Competition is super high. Yeah, for sure.
Good for you, though. Congratulations on that one.
Yeah, thanks.
And so, like, if you had to, like, kind of summarize what your biggest takeaway from going to UCLA was, what would you say?
Well, looking back at it, it was more about learning what I didn't want to do.
Great.
Again, I came away with a lot of general life skills, and going through that whole process was just a big learning experience. But I found that I didn't want to pursue political science or anthropology. Or really go to business school. So
that's great, though. You know, you can't know what you do want if you don't know what you don't want, for sure. But that was, but I would imagine it taught you a lot about your ability to stretch and reach. And I don't know, did some of that come from the military experience as well?
I've always been a person, you know, that just puts 110% into to whatever I do,
right.
Whether I enjoy it or not. I just feel like if it's something that I'm going to do, and it's worthwhile doing, and I'm going to do, you know, the best that I can. So
that's awesome. And to have grown up in Sandpoint and live in this kind of an environment, and then to live in LA, did that have some information in there for you as well?
Right. I learned I didn't want to live in LA either.
Yes. And I would imagine it wasn't necessarily just the weather.
Yeah. Well, weather was nice, but well, that was kind of also where I started to just kind of, you know, I've always craved being in the outdoors. And camping, snowboarding, mountain biking, hiking, all those things.
Right.
And it was just a real challenge to do those things down there. So I started kind of losing a lot of the interest being down there just because I couldn't do the things that I enjoyed in my off time very easily.
Yes. Yeah, they're all available there. It's just the accessibility and things like that. It's just a lot more difficult to do.
Right.
You know, it's like, I know when I moved up here, and to just know that you can just camp by just driving somewhere and going there is way different than having to make a reservation to camp somewhere a year in advance. So
right.
I know exactly what you're talking about. But anyway, so all of that led you on a path that eventually got you to come to Sandpoint. And I think what we're going to do is I think we're going to go to break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to find out how all that played out. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pace Kirby Insurance and Real Estate has been serving Boundary County for over 100 years, and they've built their reputation through good service, honesty, and stability. Come to Pace Kirby in downtown Bonners Ferry for insurance of all kinds, life insurance, supplemental health, and also Safeco Auto Insurance. Pace Kirby also sells real estate, including acreage, both large and small, farms, timberland, and creek and river property. Call 267-3123. That's 267-3123 for Pace Kirby, when experience counts.
Now is the time to gear up and get those summer projects taken care of. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonners Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, stop by the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Imagine hiring a carpenter to fix a computer.
Just a little whack-a-doodle. Or a plumber to fix your TV.
Think I found the leak.
Sometimes it's just better to start with an expert. When it comes to your car or truck transmission, get it done right the first time. Call on the specialist at Burnett's Transmission. Burnett's is absolutely the undisputed expert in transmission service and replacement. They've invested in the sophisticated equipment and certified training required to offer you affordable expert transmission repair. Cars and trucks, 4x4s and motorhomes, manual or automatic. When it comes to your transmission, turn to the specialist Burnett's Transmission on Highway 200 next to the Hoot Owl. Call them today for a free transmission performance diagnosis, 263-0589. You'll feel better knowing that the experts at Burnett's did the job. Or you could call your dentist.
Aha! Maybe if I just pull this... Oh, maybe not.
The historic City of State Line, the gateway to North Idaho, invites you to take it to the line this summer as all businesses are open once again. Take advantage of the low, low Idaho prices on gas and tobacco products at A1 Smoke Shop, Amerimar, Liberty Stop and Go, and Lou's Smoke Shop. There's great food available at Smoke and Mike's, Blue Taco, and Cooper's Express. And the nightlife is buzzing once again at the Saddle Sore Inn, El Patio, Little Italy, Cruisers, Nashville North, and State Line Showgirls. Take it to the line. State Line, Idaho.
The most exciting form of motorcycle racing, Flat Track. Flat Track returns for a special Thursday night in Airway Heights at Spokane Speedway. Racing starts at 6 and 10 bucks gets you through the gate. To see some of the Northwest's best racing talent, just take Interstate 90 to Highway 2, turn right on Hayford and left on Sprague Avenue, and follow the signs into Spokane Speedway. Some of the best bar banging, chain clanging, racing action you'll see all year long at Spokane Speedway this Thursday night.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Brian Anderson, who is the founder and owner of Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repairs here in Sandpoint. And before we went to break, we were talking about Brian's experience of being in the military and then going to UCLA to get his degree. And so now my curiosity is leading me to wonder, okay, so you graduated, you had your degree in political science and in anthropology. Then what?
Right. Well, I was growing pretty unhappy just being in California, and I kind of contributed it just to not being able to do the things outdoors that I really wanted to do. And I'd always come back once or twice a year to Sandpoint to visit my family, and it just seemed like that's the place that I wanted to be. Yeah. Would make me happy. And so I moved back and started working and doing accounting for a private company here for several years. And then...
So was that a tough decision to come back? I mean, I know that a lot of the kids that go to high school here, they just are itching to go and live a different life and see what the world outside of Sandpoint looks like. Because I'm sure that they're through media and things that they read about, that life just seems way more opulent out there and things that they want to experience. So I'm always kind of curious. It seems that such a high percentage of kids that grow up here do come back. So was it ever your intention to stay gone, or how was that for you?
Well, yeah, I definitely fall in that category. When I was growing up, in high school, I just thought, you know, Sandpoint's just kind of armpit small town, and I just really wanted to get out of here, and California just sounded so
yes,
great,
yes.
And joining the Marines, you know, was a way to get, you know, out of here and get down there.
Sure.
But yeah, after experiencing California, after traveling as much as I did, I went to a lot of great places, but yeah, Nothing really compares to Sandpoint.
Interesting.
And so I started to really appreciate, you know, what I had,
right,
growing up here, and also a lot of my family, you know, is here. So it was just kind of a natural draw to come back.
And did that feel good to make that decision, or was it kind of a struggle for you?
No, it was a struggle and scary. You know, it was just so much had changed even in the time that I was gone. Sandpoint was a lot different. It was just kind of kind of weird, actually, to come back to the town that I knew but didn't know anymore.
So you were gone for what, like 8 years?
12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what changes did you notice primarily?
Well, a lot more people.
Yeah.
For one, and a lot more development, for sure.
And so you made the decision, struggled with it a little bit, took that step, took the action necessary to get you back, and then you found a job in accounting.
Right. And I never really felt super happy, you know, like I thought I would. But again, the money, you know, was good, and I had a job in Sandpoint. I know that's a struggle for, you know, a lot of people.
Sure.
And so I just felt like I should just be grateful.
Yep.
That I could get those paychecks and that I was able to make a living here. But I eventually went to a CPA firm because I was always just kind of intrigued about public accounting and working through a tax season, just the challenges of that. But I learned that I would never want to do that again.
I know. My mouth was dropping open when you said that you were fascinated by it. I was like, oh my gosh. To me, that just seems like, for my skill set, my personality, it would be a very difficult thing to do. But so what was the excitement? Just deadlines and
deadlines
problem solving?
And stress and the challenge, you know, of it. Wanted to experience it, but it was fortunate at the end of the tax season, I got laid off, and which was somewhat unexpected, but at the same time, a relief, you know, for me, because I just didn't want to go through that again.
Sure.
You know, being laid off, of course, I wasn't, you know, prepared.
Right.
For kind of the next step and what I was going to do. So I was kind of stressed and had more time on my hands, so I was riding my bike a lot more.
Interesting.
And went in to get some parts for my bike, and there was a sign hanging in the window that they needed help. And I couldn't find, you know, a job at the time. And I thought, well, what if I, you know, did this part-time and see how that goes until I, you know, can find something else.
Sure.
And that was kind of the step to the next stage of my life.
Nice. And so you didn't really have any bike repair experience, skills?
Not professionally, no. I mean, you have, you know, like a lot of people, kind of home mechaniced on my stuff, you know, before.
Right.
But yeah, not professionally, no.
And there's a lot to it.
Whole lot, for sure.
Yes, my other son is a huge cyclist, and his passion is, and another reason why I'm so fascinated by it is that his passion is all around biking, and right now he's being a bike mechanic in San Francisco, and he works with a gentleman that he calls the Bike Whisperer, and can fix anything with, you know, whatever is at hand, and so. It's really interesting how much goes into it, how much he's learning, and how it's really supporting his love for cycling. So I would imagine that kind of went hand in hand for you.
Yeah. It didn't take too long for me to realize that I was, you know, the happiest working there than I had been in a really long time.
Wow.
And it just so happened, you know, that they needed help setting up a POS system and with some accounting.
Awesome.
And so it was a good balance for me to start working on bikes, but also kind of fall back on what I already had a good knowledge for. But I did quickly learn that bikes, you know, were a lot more complicated, and there was just a lot that I needed to learn. And so, yeah, you know, like your son, I've been blessed to work with some really knowledgeable people that had worked on bikes for a really long time, and passed on, you know, their knowledge to me. So I've learned a lot from people that I've worked with. But I also just thought, you know, it's school, you know, I knew that I was good at that, and I could apply myself.
Sure.
And I went to the United Bicycle Institute down in Oregon.
Oh, cool.
At the time, it was the only nationally accredited bike school. And so I went down there and took several classes just to kind of increase my knowledge base and just try to keep up on a bike. So, yeah, my thirst for that knowledge of always trying to keep up on current trends is just, it's continuing, because bikes just continue to evolve. So.
Right. Yeah. And so the difference between how you felt when you were taking classes in political science and anthropology and how you were taking classes in bike repair, so how was that different?
Well, bikes, of course, are a lot more hands-on, you know, than what I'd done before. And so being able to work with my hands, I just found that I got a lot of enjoyment. Yeah. You know, out of that, and going home at the end of the day, like, the greasier my fingers were, like, the better I felt about the day that I had.
Awesome.
So yeah, the fact that I was able to, you know, fix things, and then also just kind of the accomplishment, you know, when people come to get their bike and they're just so happy that yes. you're able to help them do something that they obviously get a lot of enjoyment out,
yep.
but can't do themselves,
yep.
Or don't want to do themselves, however it may be. So there was a lot of satisfaction in kind of both those things. So,
and it's, you know, and the one thing I always try to emphasize with clients, friends, whoever, is there's so many other ways you get a paycheck than actually getting dollars for your work, and to just know that you're allowing people to get out there and do what it is that they love, that you're making their lives better by doing that, which
right.
is, you know, I don't know, tell me where I'm wrong, but to me, that seems like such an important way that we get payment for what it is that we do.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, so often people just stay stuck in a career that they don't love, making a lot of money. And my question is, like, what is that paycheck costing you? No.
Which, right.
So there's so many other ways to get things. You can, there's things that you can't go to the store and buy with a paycheck. So there, right. that's an awesome thing to be able to do. And so you... So Greasy Fingers was making you happy, hence right. the name of the shop. And so how did the shop all come about? Because, again, I know that becoming entrepreneurial and stepping into that world can be scary as heck.
Right. You know, the shop that I was working at was a, you know, all sports shop. And, you know, for me, I was really just kind of learning that bikes, you know, are my passion, and I wanted to be, you know, the best that I could be at
yeah,
that.
Right.
And for me, it just felt like to make that happen, it would have to be, you know, 100% of my focus. And so that's when I just decided to branch out and do my own shop and just do bikes exclusively and year round.
Awesome. So was there a moment that became clear to you? How did that whole idea kind of evolve?
You know, I just, again, for me, it's just whenever I do something and I just want to do the best that I can, you know, at it. And I just felt like for me, to be able to be the best at it. It's something that I just needed to tackle exclusively and just submerge myself in that particular process and environment year round. So, yeah, and I'm grateful I did.
Yeah, and so there wasn't a moment where you're working on a bike and you're like, well, maybe I could have my own bike shop. Maybe I could do that.
Not really. And really, it was a super scary proposition to do. So I just knew that I was really happy working on bikes and being part of that bike community. And really, in the process of working there, I learned that working at the shop allowed me to do some things to kind of give back to the community, which I found I really got a sense of satisfaction from.
Yes.
So that was kind of another reason I just wanted to be able to kind of work in the community and build it. So.
Awesome. Well, we got to go to break, but when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about that too. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Come for the fairways. Leave with a fortune. Looking for a winning getaway? Plan your trip to Coeur d'Alene Casino and experience our 18-hole masterpiece, Circling Raven. Set on a sprawling 620 acres of woodlands, wetlands, and palouse grasses, you'll rarely see another hole on the number one rated course in the state, but you may encounter a wandering moose, elk, or deer. Book your stay-and-play package today, starting at just $249 for two. Circling Raven at Coeur d'Alene Casino. Welcome home.
Have you lost your motivation to work out? I can help. Hi, this is Jen from The Shed. The Shed's open again for fitness training, but I respect the fact if you're not ready to be back out in public. Because of this, I'm now offering online training. I've got to say, it's working great. Whether you have equipment at home or not, there's always a way to get you motivated and moving again. Using conferencing to review workouts and checkpoints, you'll be back on track in no time. So don't let COVID take your fitness motivation away. Try The Shed today, online or on Michigan Street in Sandpoint.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
What kind of career are you looking for? Do you dream of using your creative talents in the movie business? How about the advertising world? Or would you rather work in fashion? At Academy of Art University, we can help you get the art and design skills and experiences that employers want. Hundreds of top companies in the Bay Area and around the world have hired graduates from the Academy. You'll be trained by professional faculty members that have worked in the industry. So your education is practical and focused on what real-world companies want. You can get your degree at our San Francisco campus or anywhere online. Do what you want to do with your life. Call right now to get more information.
800-811-5321. 800-811-5321. 800-811-5321. That's 800-811-5321.
North Idaho's Radio and Parker Subaru are teaming up for the 4th annual Sandpoint High School New Car Raffle. Help Sandpoint High School students reach their goal with your purchase of new car raffle tickets. And on January 8th, you could be driving a new 2020 Subaru Crosstrek Premium. Last year, students raised over $58,000. Get your $5 new car raffle ticket from any Sandpoint High School student. Sponsored by Parker Subaru and North Idaho's Radio.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt, a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Brian Anderson, the founder and owner of Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repair here in Sandpoint. So before we went to break, Brian was saying that as he transitioned into developing his own shop and business in bike repair and sales, It was scary. And I always think that this is an important thing to share with anybody who might be listening, because the fact that oftentimes to branch off into doing what it is that we genuinely love, it does take that step into being an entrepreneur and all the things that go with that. So tell us a little bit about that and what was scary and how you worked through it and how you still went ahead with the plan.
Right. You know, at the time I kind of felt like I was just going through, you know, the motions. I had researched a lot, and I kind of knew the things that needed to be done, but it was also overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I just, for me, my I have such a great support network in my family and my friends, and they all came together to help. And the building that we moved into had been office spaces for a long time, and really needed a lot of work to be a functioning bike shop.
Sure.
And of course, I was trying to do most of the things that I could, but a lot of it was just out of my skill set, and I just didn't have time, you know, right, to do it all. But so many people came and contributed. It was somewhat of a like a raising of the barn.
Yeah.
I felt, and when I started to see that that people, you know, believed in me and wanted to contribute because they wanted me to succeed.
Yeah.
I started to feel, you know, really vested, you know, in it, and that whatever it was going to take, I was just going to have to work really hard because I couldn't let those people down then at that point.
Sure.
So I think a lot of that early motivation was just that kind of running off of, you know, so many people have contributed to get me here.
Awesome.
And I just got to do my best to make this work.
Love that. Love that. And that's the other thing that I wholeheartedly believe, that if you stand in what it is that you really want to do, people get in line behind you and help you do that. You know, because
yeah,
it's when it's genuine and it's true and you're doing it because you know it's the right thing.
Right.
It's so important.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it was hard to look at it at the time and know if it was the right decision, if I was going to succeed. Could I make it, you know, in small town Sandpoint? And it was just reassuring, you know, to have those people's support. So
absolutely. And I guarantee you, there is not one person that doesn't embark upon that kind of an adventure without those same fears. So that's awesome. And so once you knew that you had all that support behind you and everybody was helping you, and so do you remember when it felt like the wheels were in motion and this was going to work? And, you know, when did you start to feel that kind of that shift, like, yeah, this is the right move?
Well, it really didn't take too long. The building that we moved into was actually three units, and we just took one unit. So the concept for the shop was initially just to be really small and focused, mostly on repair, and doing, you know, a small amount of bike sales and rentals. But we quickly realized that the space was just not going to be big enough for the volume that we were doing. And eventually, within I think it was about 4 or 5 years, we'd taken over the whole building, just because we needed the space for the work that we were taking in. So
nice.
Yeah, it was pretty quick going.
That's great. And so tell me a little bit about some of the, like, you've been, you've kind of captured the cycling community here and gotten involved with so many charitable organizations and events. And so tell us a little bit about some of those things. And, you know, right now we're kind of on COVID hold, but I have a hunch those things will have their ability to surface again. So what are some of the things that you are involved in, and what do you love about that aspect of what you get to do?
Yeah. Early on, when I started working at the bike shop, I had the idea to put on an organized ride, and then to do it as a fundraiser, and raise awareness and funds for an organization that I was passionate about. And people showed up, one, because they wanted to do a fun, you know, biking event, but also, you know, raise some good money for the organization. And it really took me back that, you know, having the shop gave me a platform to do things, you know, in my community that I wouldn't normally, wouldn't be as easy.
Sure.
But I could capture, you know, that biking audience.
Sure.
So then from there, it's just kind of spurred on to we're involved in a lot of charitable organizations now, just either through our time, donating our time, or money, or through biking events that we do to raise money and awareness for them. And I just love Sandpoint, and I've had a lot of generations of my family here, and I just love that I'm able to give back and and make it hopefully a better place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's the other thing that's a qualifier for me, is that are you giving back and enhancing the lives of others with the work that you do? Again, it's not something that you're going to receive in a paycheck, but it certainly feels amazingly good when you get to do that.
Absolutely.
And so what are some of the charitable organizations that you're working with?
Right. Well, on a normal year.
Yes, exactly.
It's like everything's on hold right now.
Yes.
But CHAFE would be coming up.
Sure.
And we lend mechanical support for all the lengths of that ride. We do a ride to raise awareness and money for community cancer services. Nice. Annually. We also do a food drive for the food bank annually. We also do something. We kind of alternate between the VFW and the Marine Corps League. Obviously, a couple of things that are close to my heart. And we've also hosted a Yappy Hour every year, just because a love for animals, but
yeah.
They do some great work at the animal shelter, and it's amazing what they do over there. And Yappy Hour has changed now, but and there's probably more I'm not thinking of. But
well, and then there's always everyone's favorite, the Full Moon Bike Ride, which at this time of year is really hard to not be able to do. But
yeah.
I love that you've kind of instilled in others to just get out there and do it without everyone. And I do love seeing people riding around and kind of keeping that tradition alive. So thank you so much for that. So really quickly, if you could give advice to someone who's sitting there, knows that there's something they want to do or not quite sure what it is, but they know that it's not what they're doing, what would you say?
Well, I would just say that you have to not be afraid to just jump in, for one. And I wasn't really looking for a sign, but obviously there was a kind of a big sign for me that this is something that maybe you should do. But I think that there probably are signs around you, and maybe you're cognizant of them, or maybe you're not, but I think you probably are.
Yes, exactly.
And there's a seed in your head, and you know, whatever it is that's holding you back, that's kind of the step that you just got to take on.
Absolutely great advice. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. That's it for our show today. Thanks for listening in. Tune in for my next show, August 24th. In the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.
KU 46 CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.